Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on April 29th, 2020, in a closet in James Island, South Carolina. This podcast cuts through the COVID-19 noise and gives you South Carolina-specific COVID-19 news and stories. This episode features more insight on DHEC data, discussion of the reopening of Myrtle Beach hotels and beaches, Boeing production cuts and layoffs, the retail scene in Charleston, staggering infection rates in Florence County, and what the June 9th primaries may look like. And just so you know, some of the information in this podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. Additionally, we want to hear your stories, so we set up a voice mailbox to hear from y'all about your daily life in these uncertain times. Leave us a one-minute-long voicemail at 803-563-7169. That's 803-563-7169. And now for the latest in South Carolina. Currently, the spread of COVID-19 remains ongoing, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control officials. There have been 203 deaths, and currently there are 5,881 cases being reported in all 46 counties as of April 29th at 3:47 p.m. And we also have some encouraging news. DHEC says based on the available symptom onset data for 4,454 individuals who have tested positive for COVID-19, they estimate that as of April 27th, 76% of those individuals have recovered from the illness, and 24% remain ill. The death rate for the week ending April 25th was 17, in the third week of steady declines from the peak of the week ending April 4th, which saw 56 deaths. However, on Tuesday of this week, we saw our deadliest day so far with 15 deaths. Again, that's nearly the total rate for the last week. And just so you know, cases of COVID-19 peaked for the week ending April 11th at 1,279. And some more demographic data from DHEC was released, and it finds that Black South Carolinians make up 43% of cases, but 53% of the first 186 deaths. Now, we discussed racial disparities with USC Associate Nursing Dean Dr. Coretta Jenneret in the last episode. It was from an interview that I had with her on last week's This Week in South Carolina, which is available on scetv.org/TWISC or on YouTube. Despite Governor Henry McMaster saying South Carolinians are complying with guidelines as evidenced by a plateauing of cases, there have been isolated cases of people and businesses violating emergency orders in the state, including at least two Grand Strand bars and citations issued to beachgoers who aren't adequately socially distancing. In the city of Florence, Mayor Stephen J. Wakila, a Democrat, held a press conference Tuesday after recent countywide data found that folks are not taking the situation as seriously as they should. The data found that one-third of the 265 cases in the county has occurred within the past 4 days, and the county had the 15th highest average daily growth rate in the country.
Now, this places us ranked 15th nationally in the rate of increase in reported cases on a daily basis. Also, nearly 40% of these cases were reported among young people under the age of 44. By comparison, Florence has three times the per capita infection rate of Horry County, twice the per capita infection rate of Charleston, and nearly the equivalent infection rate as they are seeing in Richland County, which has been a hot spot for many weeks.
Wakila said that DHEC officials briefed him on the drastic numbers, which led him to call out folks still attending in-person church services, funerals, and those flocking to home improvement stores.
Folks, this must stop. In spite of what you might see on television or read on the internet, here in Florence, the outbreak is not subsiding. We are not at the peak. We are not near the peak. This is not a cause for panic. We should remain calm. But we must take this threat seriously. We must maintain distance. And while we must be separated for now, we are not alone. We will persevere together.
From the PD to the Grand Strand, the Myrtle Beach City Council on Tuesday voted unanimously to reopen its 8 miles of beach and is expected to begin a phased reopening of hotels and short-term rentals in the city beginning Friday. Council is set to approve specific guidelines for accommodations on Thursday. Councilmember Greg Smith, however, voiced concerns but voted for the motion with some changes.
We've got people that are scared. We've got people that are nervous. both for their health and for their financial wherewithal. It's such a delicate balance. And I also have a little trouble with the governor's work or home order while we're still opening hotels. I don't see how anyone can justify coming to a hotel while the order is work or home, even though it's not included in the governor's order. So I'm going to support opening the hotels. I don't think that a percentage basis is enforceable or there's any way to figure it out. It would be fine on one large hotel, but all these condos and individual units, that's just a nightmare waiting to happen. So hopefully people will just, you know, follow the general guidelines, be as safe as they can, and we'll all get through this in the end.
Myrtle Beach Mayor Brenda Bethune said a committee will be assembled to address additional steps forward and to make sure actions are taken if there are any spikes in cases. But with attractions still closed and consumer confidence shaken, the season's tourist outlook remains grim.
We have been told from several hoteliers, as well as the Hospitality Association and the Chamber of Commerce, that what they are seeing so far, that we will not be at full capacity this entire summer. Matter of fact, state PRT, Parks, Recreation, and Tourism, they are projecting that there will be a 50% decline statewide on tourism. And we know that's going to be the case here in Myrtle Beach. And that some of the restrictions that are still in place, such as restaurants being closed and the fact that we are still under a state of emergency and that the governor has not lifted those yet, those types of things will further restrict the occupancy rates of the hotel. So it will happen naturally.
There will also be increased beach patrols to make sure people are socially distancing, and police will issue citations if necessary. Myrtle Beach joins Horry County, North Myrtle Beach, Surfside Beach, Pawleys Island, and Georgetown County in opening their public beach access. The June 9th statewide primaries and June 23rd runoffs are set to proceed as scheduled, but some polling places will be relocated or consolidated according to the State Election Commission. Some facilities have declined to be used, and some poll managers have declined to serve, leading officials, with about a little more than a month to go, scrambling as they also continue to source personal protective equipment for voters and workers. Now, the SEC has no authority to delay the primaries or deviate from current laws in conducting elections. You can vote absentee by choosing from one of 18 reasons. If voting absentee by mail, the SEC says that you should apply now. Governor McMaster ordered last week that retail shops can reopen, and since then, many across the state have. Some are weighing their options, while others are in the process of deep cleaning and working on best practices, including mandated social distancing occupancy standards. South Carolina Public Radio reporter Victoria Hansen looks at the retail landscape in Charleston.
Runners find plenty of room on King Street. There's little traffic as the city of Charleston tries to reopen its retail stores. But strolling shoppers find few open businesses. Big names like Anthropologie and J. Crew are closed. Padlocks hang from door after door after door at the corner of King and Society. Music and a rush of cool air invite people in. This is M. Dumas & Sons, a local upscale men's clothing store. Let's just say they've been around for a while.
103 years on King Street, yeah.
Gary Flynn is part owner. He's trying to stay optimistic, despite the coronavirus pandemic.
We've been through a few world wars and a couple depressions, and we'll get through this too. Turn, that one's my copy, this one's yours.
Flynn is grateful the governor has given the go-ahead for stores like his to reopen, even if it means wearing a mask, offering hand sanitizer, and limiting the number of people allowed in. His customers so far?
Just people that have been tired of being cooped up and are out and about, kind of walking King Street. Thankfully, a few of them have actually been buying some things.
Thank you guys so much.
All right,
guys. Thank you. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate you.
Holly Warren and Nick Mafucci are in from Charlotte, visiting family.
I got a good deal on stuff, so when everything opens, I'll look good.
Nick still works from home, South Carolina has extended its stay-at-home order. And the number of new coronavirus cases across the state has not consistently dropped. That's why the city of Charleston passed an emergency ordinance requiring even tougher restrictions for reopening businesses.
Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Some council members argue the governor's order is unfair. It allows beaches to reopen, but gives coastal communities the final say. Except for a handful of beaches north, most remain closed. Cities, however, have little say. Each business decides if it reopens or stays closed. Here's Charleston City Councilman Peter Shaheed.
So we're stuck. And as to whether or not we like this or not, we agree with it or not.
Back on King Street, the doors to Half Moon Outfitters, a local outdoor clothing and sporting goods store, are locked. But the business is open. You have to knock. Only five customers are allowed in at a time. It's a relatively small store. Markings on the floors guide social distancing measures.
You know, there's a lot of personal feelings being mixed with business.
Assistant manager Brent Ferguson says he's grateful to have a paycheck, but he does worry.
There's still not a vaccine. We technically still haven't flattened this curve out. South Carolina's been fortunate, you know, compared to other states, it sounds like, but we just don't feel quite out of the woods yet.
While employees do wear a mask and gloves, many people in off the street do not. And if you try something on in this store, that item gets quarantined. Outside, April and J.R. Tabarsi want to support local businesses. They're going store to store, trying to buy something in each that is open.
We're definitely tired of Walmart and Target. You know, it's really nice to spend some money and know it's going to go back to the city.
People are eager to get out, but there's more window shopping than actual shopping going on. A for lease sign hangs in the front of a former restaurant, and what looks to be an electricity bill is tucked in another store door. It is anything but business as usual.
In some more international business news, Boeing, the aerospace giant and major manufacturer with a plant in North Charleston, reported a $641 million first quarter loss and plans to cut its payroll of some 160,000 workers by 10% by the end of the year through voluntary layoffs and layoffs as it looks to stem the bleeding from the ripple effects of the COVID-19 crisis and as it deals with the fallout of the 737 MAX.
We're in an unprecedented period for the industry and the world. I'm humbled and privileged to lead the talented people of Boeing.
That's Boeing CEO Dave Calhoun on the quarterly call on Wednesday. He gave an overview of the headwinds facing the company.
Here in the U.S., passenger traffic at this moment in time is down 95% compared to a year ago. Airlines are cutting back operations dramatically. As they assess their businesses, they're making difficult decisions that result in grounding fleets, deferring airplane orders, postponing acceptance of completed orders, and slowing down or stopping payments. They are also accelerating aircraft retirements and requiring fewer services. The fundamentals that have driven air travel for the past five decades and doubled air traffic over the past two decades remain intact. We believe this industry will recover, but it will take 2 to 3 years for travel to return to 2019 levels. And it will be a few years beyond that for the industry to return to long-term growth trends. But as we see it today, narrow-body airplanes will lead the way to recovery, trailed by wide-body fleets as airlines progressively bring their networks back online. Therefore, wide-body passenger fleets will likely be more significantly impacted than narrow-body airplanes in the near term.
Now, when you hear Calhoun talk about wide-body passenger planes, he's talking about those like the 787 Dreamliner, which are long-haul workhorses and are produced and assembled in North Charleston. As a result, the company will continue to cut production from previous highs of 14 planes per month and implement workforce reductions that will be higher in places like North Charleston than the announced 10%. While Boeing's stock saw a bump on Wednesday, it's still down some 57% year-to-date, and its dividend has been suspended. Boeing North Charleston is set to reopen early next week, as is another major manufacturer in the state, BMW in Greer. Now, nationwide, the first quarter GDP contracted by 4.8%. Remember, just in March alone, more than 10 million people applied for unemployment insurance benefits. To be clear, output did not decline 4.8% this quarter. That's the annualized rate, which means that if this rate of decline persisted for a year, it would be negative 4.8% for the year. So far, that's the worst contraction since 2008, but economists are already expecting a 30% contraction for the second quarter, which is estimated to be a negative 5% growth for the year. Now, how about some positive economic news, News so positive that it rallied markets on Wednesday, and that news is that Gilead Sciences' Phase 3 study of its antiviral drug, remdesivir, has shown that patients suffering from severe COVID-19 who were put on a 5-day regimen of the drug had similar improvements to those on a 10-day regime. Now, that means less drugs for similar results mean more availability of the drug. However, it has still not been approved yet and has not been deemed safe or effective against COVID-19. But that's some positive news from a Phase 3 study going forward. DHEC provided additional data on Tuesday that found 595 cases of COVID-19 among staff and residents at 62 nursing home facilities in the state. Of those nearly 600 cases, 44 people have died between April 3rd and April 27th. So some sobering news right there, and I'm sure we'll get some more details about those cases as we look into it. And previously, we've mentioned how DHEC has received 15 Abbott rapid response testing machines and a limited supply of testing material. Now, these tests are great because they provide results in 15 minutes and have been dispatched to health facilities across the state. One test for 15 minutes, that's about 4 tests per hour. So not too many tests, but still quick results in a short period of time if you need them. Now, the Department of Corrections and the Al Cannon Detention Center in Charleston have each received one of the testing kits as well. And DHEC said it considered several factors in determining where to send these initial rapid test devices, including regions with high numbers of positive cases, areas with rates above the state average for underlying conditions like diabetes, hypertension, and other chronic diseases, and a facility's capacity to use the machines to expand testing in rural communities. State epidemiologist Dr. Linda Bell said more testing will now be conducted across the state for people with different symptoms.
Well, our focus is on actually testing individuals who are symptomatic. Now, those symptoms may be different than what we originally encouraged, and we were focusing on those who were most ill initially, so we are seeking to markedly expand testing so that those who have mild illness will be able to be tested. And there are other tests. So this is the diagnostic test for those who have symptoms, but we're also looking at testing for the presence of antibodies in people who have recovered from illness so that we can get an idea of how many people in the community have previously had infection. So those are the two different types of testing. But for the diagnostic test, we are focusing on identifying those with milder illness who previously we didn't have the resources, the laboratory samples and the reagents in the lab. So now we're looking to broadly test everyone who has even the mildest symptoms of illness.
And Bell's remarks came after the Accelerate SC meeting on Monday. You can watch all those meetings on scetv.org. Now, this is our wind down section where we want to hear from you. Tell us what's going on in your world. Remember, these are some different, uncertain times, and we're all just trying to understand them better together. Have you been to the beach? Are you shopping in stores that were previously closed? Do you think people are following social distancing measures? What have you seen? Heck, do you know what day it is? Let us know. Just call us and tell us what day it is at 803-563-7169. Again, leave us a message at 803-563-7169 with your name. Make it about a minute or so, or however you're feeling, and you might just get on the pod, which I hear we have a message, AT, so let's go ahead with that.
Hey, Gavin, AT, it's Levi. I'm here on John's Island down in Charleston, greater Charleston area. I'm keeping the survival mode during the pandemic by trading off work days with my wife. Here's some acronyms. She is an NP in the ICU at MUSC, so she's working about 5 to 7 days a week right now. I'm squeezing in work when I can, and when I'm not, I am being the father slash teacher slash principal to 5-year-old boy-girl twins. So you can imagine it's quite a wild day. So we spend most of the day talking about letters or in the pool or playing in the yard. And at the end of the day, I sort of itself heal by slurping that delicious brown liquor. Say hi to Jamie and Meg, and thanks for keeping the pod going, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good one. Bye.
Levi, great message, and OMG, TY, 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 your wife for being a nurse in general, but also during this hard time. And thank you for juggling all the responsibilities that come with this new situation. Also, I am a fraternal twin myself, so I have some idea about what you're facing, but not really. I'm usually the troublemaker, not the trouble fixer.
You're a boy-boy twin, though.
Yeah, I'm a boy-boy twin. So
who even knows? You don't know what you're
worse,
talking about.
Probably even worse.
You don't even know what you're talking about. You're making a fool of yourself.
And again, what a great brown liquor impression. 10 out of 10.
Brown liquor.
Very good. And give us a call like Levi at 803-563-7169. Paint us a portrait of your daily life and how things have been going. And now for a wind down that's out of this world. AT, I asked you to look into something for me personally, and I just think it's important that we talk about this because there might be some mixed messaging. Some people might have missed this. What is that?
This is the role I was born to do.
Yes.
Let's just be clear on that, okay? Gavin is expertly segueing me into speaking about the declassified UFO files that the government just put out to kind of like whet our appetite. I don't know. Is it to whet or is it to like sate us that we're just like chomping at the bit for something that isn't Tiger King?
We need content.
I don't know.
We need new content, so now we have to rely on the government to write it for us.
Gavin says that he's watched the TV show Blue. What is it?
I haven't seen the TV show. The only thing I know about Project Blue Book is based off of Twin Peaks.
Yeah. Well, there's a History Channel show. So I figured, hey, you're stuck with your dad. You're probably watching tons of History Channel. By the way, tonight, Wednesday night, Forge and Fire night, History Channel.
Don't push that. Just tell me about the UFOs. What do I need to know?
Okay, let's get back on topic. Stop sidetracking me.
Segwaying.
So these videos have been around for a while, right? And so basically all that they did was they said that they're unidentified flying objects.
UFO.
They didn't say they're aliens. They're just saying that they can't identify them. So mm-hmm. they are unidentified flying objects, the truest sense of the name UFO.
It's not some government project. Okay, go ahead.
It's not a government project as far as we know. Mulder might be on it. Mm. But what you need to know is that you know who got the ball rolling on these things being declassified?
Oh, I think I do, but I can't remember.
It is Tom DeLong from Blink 182.
Thank you.
The best thing Tom DeLong has done since Dude Ranch. That's the only reason I wanted to talk about this, because like it's literally just like little dots with
little dots. Jesus, man, this is the true thing. You're just disregarding them.
Pilots going like, whoa.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they released something a couple of months ago where it was like they had the pilots in their audio talking about how crazy things were. And look at that. Gee, yeah, there's
but,
no well, way it could
what
do
I'm
that.
Saying well, is that this ball got rolling when Tom DeLong took it into his hands that he needed to shed some light on some lies. And the American people deserve to know.
I just can't
so
wait
great
for, like,
job,
the
Tom DeLong.
For the conspiracy theorists to be like, oh, you're talking about Boeing, but you're not talking about the connection with Boeing and UFOs, man. It's like, whoa.
And Blink 182.
Come on. that's far out. Yeah, and this week I've been too busy watching things like Jurassic Park this week. Annabelle Comes Home. I watched that right before bed last night. That
garbage,
was a
total
exciting.
garbage movie.
I watched Die Hard 2. This is everything that's on demand on HBO. I'm at my parents'
that's
house, so
bad,
I'm stuck.
Bad movie, Die Hard 2.
I'm okay with it. You know, being from the D.C. area, they like to see Dulles and the planes. But it's all that's on demand here. They don't really have... They have fire stick
the
downstairs,
outfits
but like...
of the terrorists in... Die Hard 2 are on fire.
Yeah.
Though. Like great, great military outfit.
Yeah, let's go ahead and praise the terrorists for one thing. Their chic ability to
they
blend in.
They got style.
But yeah, so I've been down here. I'm gonna head back up to Columbia on Thursday for this week in South Carolina taping, and then maybe I'll come back down here. Apparently this is like the best radio booth I got. This closet that I'm broadcasting with pillows everywhere.
You sound good in there.
You've probably seen our photos, so... again, let us know your thoughts about what's going on, what your thoughts are on the UFOs. We need to know if you're an expert UFO person, if you got some theories. Again, kind of limited to like a minute or 90 seconds. We don't have time for your flow charts, but we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 803-563-7169. And again, thank you for tuning into the pod. You can keep up with the latest on SCETV.org and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. Also, don't forget to support your local newspapers. They're out there hustling too, and they're facing some dire circumstances. So give them as much support as you can. And when you get your fill of the news, take a break from it. Go out, you know, look at the sky, search for a UFO, whatever. You can also follow me on Twitter at Gavin Jackson for the latest news. And I'll also let you know if the governor is holding a press conference, which is always carried live on SCETV and South Carolina Public Radio platforms, usually around 4:30. We are here for you, our lead community, throughout this situation as it continues to develop. We are in full-scale hashtag lead laugh love mode together. For the South Carolina lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina. I never saw Congo. I was just like,
you've never seen it?
I was too scared.